Good day. This day we will be discussing different aspects of you moving more in the direction of self-awareness and what that entails and the experiences of interconnectedness. And in all of that, I would express to each of you, for the most part, to be directing your questions in relation to that subject. This is an important subject, and presently many individuals are experiencing difficulties in relation to this movement. We will also be expressing briefly in relation to the continued subject of climate change and different difficulties that are occurring with that. I want to acknowledge many, many, many of you that have been pooling energy in relation to the situation with the individuals in Australia, for that is a very difficult situation and it is adding to the environmental difficulties. In that, I would say that there are many other difficulties that are occurring, but at this point, we won't be addressing to most of those yet. The most important subject presently is your movement in relation to that self-awareness and what you are experiencing and how that can be eased, but also for those of you that aren't experiencing significant challenges in that or aren't experiencing significant challenges in relation to this present science wave, it may be encouraging and helpful for some of you to be expressing some of your movements as an example for other individuals that can be helpful for them to be encouraged and moving in more of an ease. This is a difficult time framework presently. And one of the most significant difficulties is differences. I have been speaking about differences from the onset of this forum. I was speaking about differences to the original group when I initially began my interactions with all of you, and it is only now that you are beginning to actually recognize through experience the challenges that differences present, and that people do create very different realities, and that can be considerably challenging for most of you to interact with and to engage and address to. You are accustomed to thinking and assuming that everyone's reality is the same as yours unless there's something wrong with them. Unless they have some type of mental disorder. But that is not the situation, my friends, as you are learning in this time framework of moving more in the direction of being self-aware, you will be recognizing more and more, individuals create their realities very differently in some situations, and you intersect with each other at different points, but some individuals you will intersect with less than others. Some you may interact with and you may intersect with them quite a bit, which means that their reality will resemble your own considerably. Others, you may not intersect with them much at all, and therefore it may appear that their reality is considerably different than yours. And because of your societal beliefs, that can lead you in a direction of generating assessments and assumptions that another individual is being untruthful when they may not be being untruthful, that they may simply be expressing a very different reality from your own, and you don't understand that or you don't recognize that. And what creates a significant difference and difficulty is when any of you are interacting with another individual and you have no frame of reference in relation to their reality or what they are experiencing or what they are expressing. That can create significant difficulties in interactions. And although in the past you have been able to interact with each other for the most part without tremendous difficulty, the reason that you could do that is because you weren't as self-aware and therefore you were being very dismissive. If something didn't fit in relation to your reality, you simply dismissed it and moved on. That isn't happening as much now, in which individuals are paying much more attention to what they themselves are doing and what others are doing and what situations are happening. And it becomes more and more difficult to accept those differences. Therefore, what I will present to all of you today is the opportunity to be sharing some of those experiences that you have engaged yourselves and your questions in relation to that. And a reminder that I, as your ghostly friend, as you may be fond of referring to myself as, I am here and interacting with you to encourage you, to aid you, to address to trauma, and to be supportive to all of you. I am not here to predict your futures. And I want to express to all of you that that is a significant piece presently, that because you are moving in considerable directions of becoming more and more self-aware, each of you, all of you, your futures are becoming more and more unpredictable. I'm not speaking of distant future. I'm speaking of your near futures, what you are doing, what directions you are engaging. The potential for any of you to be changing choices very quickly is very high. Therefore, in that it becomes more volatile and it becomes very difficult to express in any capacity other than a vague potential. And I can express a larger or a smaller potential, but even in that, it is somewhat vague at this point because you are all moving so quickly and changing so dramatically that anything in your future is exceedingly volatile and very changeable. And therefore, now more than ever, the idea of any essence having the ability to express anything with any kind of certainty about your future, your near future, individually, is ludicrous. I can express possibilities and potentials in relation to the larger picture, in relation to you as collectives, but as individuals, you are moving so quickly that what you potentially may do or may not do and the choices that you may engage change so quickly that it is very difficult and near impossible to predict what any of you will be engaging from one moment to the next in this present time framework. That will eventually stabilize, but presently, this is actually what you would term to be good, because you are being more intentional. You are being more self-directing. You are expressing much more self-awareness, but it also adds that piece presently in which you can be very changeable very quickly. Therefore, bearing that in mind, I would express that it is significant that we are actually in this conversation addressing to that action of becoming more self-aware and the challenges that you might engage with that movement and what you are experiencing with differences. Not only difficulties, but if individuals have experiences in which they are engaging differences and they are being successful with that, that can be very encouraging to other individuals to share that also. Remember, the more self-aware you are becoming, the more interconnected you are being aware of. Not that you are any more interconnected now than you ever have been. You've always been interconnected, but you weren't always aware of that objectively. And now you are more and more. And now is even more so a time framework when it is important for you to share your experiences with each other, because that enhances your ability to be expressing the experiences of your interconnectedness. In that, I will open to your experiences, your questions, your contributions in relation to this subject, which is very important.
Hello, Elias.
Yes.
Question on what you just said regarding interactions in which what you are receiving from the other individual doesn't seem to make sense to you because their reality is substantially different. Isn't it not true that even in those cases, what you are receiving is a reflection?
Definitely, yes.
So what you receive in those circumstances are still things that are related to you, to myself, for example.
Yes, they are, although you may not necessarily understand that at the time because the other individual may be expressing so differently that it may be difficult for you to understand. But yes, and remember, reflections aren't mirrors.
Right, I understand. Then,
yes.
Then, how can we minimize, let us say, the frustration or the difficulty with those kinds of interchanges?
Very well. First piece is, once again, to be engaging your usual steps. Acknowledge whatever it is that you are feeling, which maybe frustration or even irritation, annoyance. It may be many different expressions. You may even be expressing hurt. Acknowledge what you are feeling, but then stop. And then ask yourself, what are you doing? And in that, first examine or evaluate whether you are expressing some type of expectation, which in many situations will be the case. If you are engaging some type of expectation of yourself or of the other individual, in that can be the simple direction to move in. And once you recognize what the expectation is, then you are understanding what the reflection is that you are presenting to yourself. But I would express that if you genuinely are evaluating your expression and you actually genuinely don't have an expectation, then it is a matter of looking at the difference itself and evaluating, first of all, what is this difference invoking in you? And in that, what is your reaction in relation to that difference? In that may be, in some situations, the reflection in itself, that you are presenting a difference to yourself to have the opportunity to address to those differences. Now, in that, you may not understand that difference, or you may not have an experience that you can reference of your own in relation to that difference. Then what that is likely expressing to yourself is how to be accepting of this difference without having a reference point, without agreeing, without necessarily liking what you are presenting to yourself. Because remember, you don't have to agree with something. You don't have to like it to be accepting of it. But now is the time in which those are becoming not simply words, that you are actually being presented with situations to actually do it. and to actually express that acceptance, which can be significantly challenging if you don't understand or if you don't have a reference point in relation to your own experiences. And if the expression that is being presented to you is confusing, you don't have to make sense of something. You don't have to have the ability to explain something to yourself. There are some expressions you can't do that in physical focus because you don't have a reference point. Therefore, you can intellectualize, but in regard to genuinely understanding, you may not be able to objectively. Now, beyond that, in relation to that acceptance, what you can do is you can actually call upon that interconnected piece within you, recognizing that what you are presenting to yourself through another individual, even if you don't understand, even if you can't reference, you are a part of that other individual and they are a part of you. Therefore, in that, you don't necessarily have to understand, but it can be moving in a direction of acceptance through the recognition that the other individual's experience is part of your experience. It isn't one that necessarily fits your present guidelines in this particular focus, but that is another piece which momentarily, as an aside, I will express a very simple definition and explanation for all of you in relation to your guidelines. Your guidelines are there for you in how you express yourself in relation to other people and situations. In relation to other people and situations. Not what you express to yourself, not what you expect other people to express to you. If your core guideline, your core truth is respect, it is a guideline as to how you express yourself in relation to other people and situations. Therefore, you respect them. Continuing. Now, in relation to guidelines and what they mean and how they are expressed, as I was expressing, your guidelines, your core truths, your core beliefs are not guidelines for you in relation to yourself, and they aren't guidelines in relation to how other individuals interact with you. Therefore, not an expectation. In that, I will reiterate, if your core belief, truth, your guideline is consideration, what that means is that you express considering other people and situations. Not that you are considerate to yourself, not that you expect other people to be considerate of you, but that you are considering other individuals as your guideline. Therefore, whatever your guideline is, whatever your guidelines are, they are in relation to how you behave. Not how other people behave, not what you express to yourself, but how you behave. That is what they are. Guidelines in relation to your behavior. Therefore, whatever your core beliefs, your guidelines are, they are in place to guide you in relation to your behavior and how you express it in relation to other people. This is important in relation to what we were discussing in relation to differences and what the reflection is if you are presenting a considerable difference to yourself, because that may be a part of it. In that, if you are expressing your guidelines correctly, that will help you, it will aid you in moving in a direction in which you can express and experience that interconnectedness and therefore express that acceptance of those differences, even if you don't understand them, even if you have no point of reference in relation to them, it won't matter. Therefore, in simplifying, it is first a matter of acknowledging what you are feeling in the moment and then recognizing what is that statement that is behind that feeling. The feeling is the signal. There is a statement being made by you about what you are doing in that moment. What you are doing in that moment is important. It is important information in relation to what you are presenting to yourself as that reflection. Then in relation to looking at the reflection, first evaluate if there is an expectation. If not, then evaluate whether this is a reflection that you have a reference point to, whether you understand it, or whether it is a considerable difference, and then move in those directions accordingly in relation to yourself, your guidelines, and how you behave in relation to your guidelines, and accessing your experience, moving into the experience of that interconnectedness with the other individual.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
If nobody, sorry, go ahead.
I have waited partway in to that process, I think. First, I will say that someone who's been very important in my life recently disengaged in a very wonderful way, really. She was older, she was in her 80s, and she was ready to go, and she opened up, really opened up, and we called it the magical mystery tour. Anyway, she has disengaged. And that left me feeling, I mean, I interacted with her a lot during this time, and it left me feeling very, very open and vulnerable. And in that context, I have a childhood friend I've been friends with her since I was five, that I reconnected with maybe a year ago. And we were growing up in the 50s in New Jersey. It was relatively conservative. Her family was from the South, and my family was, we were Yankees. Civil rights became a question, and her family and my family were kind of on the other side of that, and it wasn't a big deal then because everybody was polite. But it was a big deal between her and I when it came up. I was convinced I was right, and I really saw that so clearly just this morning, actually. I've always felt a little bad about, she moved away, and I felt bad about that. They moved further south, and I went to visit her, and we had some interactions with other kids, and I was kind of appalled, and she ended up apologizing about it. But I didn't realize at the time how I was being, and now I can see it. And I had convictions that were like, they weren't particularly popular, you know, even where I lived at the time, but I was convinced that I was right. And there's a way in which I still feel that it's the right thing to do, but it isn't the right thing to do to look down or belittle other people because they don't behave the way my guidelines say, I guess is what you're saying. And that's what I have just recently gotten, just in time for this webinar. But I'm also, this is interesting, so when I look at somebody and they're calling me names or something, or they're acting in a certain way towards me, I need to look at myself and see what I am putting out, because it's gonna tell me why they're acting that way. Instead of looking at them and focusing on what they're putting out.
Correct. Now let me clarify what you said, because that is an excellent point. But many individuals at this point look at what you said about looking at what you are expressing, what you are projecting in energy that presented that to yourself. This is the point in which many individuals begin to move in the direction of that mirror instead of the reflection. And they begin to think, if someone is calling me names, then I must be discounting myself, or I must be believing something not good about myself, or I must be expressing something bad about myself. And that may not be the situation at all. It may be that you may be projecting an energy of judgment, and therefore someone else may be receiving that, and they may be reacting to it by calling you names. And in that, it isn't necessarily that you think you're wrong, or you think you're bad, or you think you are not deserving. It may be quite the opposite. You may be, in your common vernacular, feeling and expressing self-righteousness.
Yeah.
You may be thinking exactly how you expressed, that you are right. And in that, it may be attracting judgments from other people, and they may be expressing in a manner that is unwelcomed by yourself, and it may even be hurtful to you or irritating to you. But in that, this is what I was expressing in relation to the previous question. When you present that reflection to yourself, that difference to yourself, the first piece is to evaluate what do you feel in relation to that, because there is a statement behind that feeling. And that gives you a clue in relation to what you are doing that is influencing the situation. Then evaluating what are your expectations in relation to any given situation or the subject at hand. And that, I would say that with a situation such as you have presented, you could stop at the expectations, because that is obvious that there are expectations being expressed. And in that, they may not always be as easy to see, though. And they always be as obvious as they actually are, because many times when something is very obvious, when it is directly in front of you, that is the piece that you can't see.
Yes.
Yes.
It is so directly in front of you, you can't see it. And you don't know it. And in that, it may actually require a considerable amount of time and repeated experiences before you actually begin to question what you are actually presenting to yourself, especially in any expression in which you believe you are right.
This is a big piece of furniture that's going to take a while to move.
I agree.
I kind of was aware of it, and I said, oh, well, but now I see it has to move.
And I say to you, my dear friend, congratulations, because that is an enormous step. That is a tremendous accomplishment. That you see it. Because this is the piece that presently in moving in the direction of being more self-aware, this is what most of you will be presenting to yourselves. These pieces that are so directly in front of you that you haven't been able to see them throughout your entire lives.
It's scary.
It can be, but I would also be very encouraging of all of you and expressing that it also is tremendously liberating.
Yes, yes.
It can be scary in the capacity that this is something you have done and believed and thought and felt your entire life. Therefore, it feels as if it is a foundational block in relation to your life. It also can feel that it is a foundational piece of your personality, and that is significant because many of these expressions aren't part of your personality at all. They aren't part of who you are. They are what you have developed in relation to what you believe. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean automatically that then you are wrong. It doesn't mean that at all. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to throw away what you have believed and what you have experienced and what you have expressed as important to you for most of your life. What it does mean is that it likely requires being modified. That you can still hold an ideal. You can still hold to what you believe is right, but it requires being modified in the capacity, just as you said. You expressed the metaphor that it is a large piece of furniture. It is. And you can keep that large piece of furniture, but you are correct. It requires being moved. It requires being moved from in front of the door that it is hiding.
Yes.
And once it is pushed to the side, it can be there, and you can look at that piece of furniture and you can appreciate it, and you can revel in it at times if you wish to, but you don't allow it to block you, and you don't allow it to block your sight.
It feels, it is freeing, but it's sort of like, I feel like there's this big space in front of me and I almost don't have a reference point. It's like.
Precisely.
That
is the wonder, which I understand can be scary, but simultaneously it is wondrous because that big empty space can be anything you want it to be. Because you now get to choose and create a new picture. Add to your foundation. You aren't taking away from it. You are giving yourself more room to add to it.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
Hi, Elias.
Welcome, my friend.
Well, we had a hard time the last 5 weeks, and you encouraged me to share some of it, and you told me that you want to take the opportunity to express that energy that many felt, but they couldn't actually make sense of it. And I started to share it, and more people are coming out of their corner and expressing, oh, I had a horrible time. I couldn't make any sense of it. And now the energy is turning and many people feel a release of tension. And so,
yeah, I acknowledge you, my friend. There has been a considerable surge of energy. There have been many different aspects of actions occurring, as I expressed in relation to climate change most recently. It has escalated tremendously and it has created some significant difficulties and challenges. And in that, it has also created potential situations that could have been somewhat disastrous in your terms, although that has been abated. And it continues to be a situation that is being addressed too. But I would acknowledge most of you that have felt a heaviness in energy, that have felt something looming that you couldn't quite define, and that you knew something was occurring in energy, but you weren't quite objectively sure of what that was. Let me say to you, yes, it is turning, but I would say that, yes, part of it has been the tremendous collective expression in Australia. That is an enormous expression of energy. Another very large expression of energy has been in relation to the melting of the permafrost. This is a serious situation, much more serious than most of you realize, and a difficult situation to address to. And these two events actually are interconnected, because the situation in Australia is contributing even more to that melting of the permafrost, which is creating new challenges. What has been buried and in stasis in that permafrost for thousands and thousands and thousands of years is not necessarily in stasis any longer. And in that, there are potentials that are rising, that have risen and that are rising, in relation to dangerous situations with that. I very much acknowledge individuals that have been moving in a direction of researching and addressing to the containment in relation to this situation with the permafrost, but I would definitely express to all of you, this is a situation that is more significant than any of you realize. And in that, it is worthy of being aware. It isn't a situation that I choose to be expressing in detail at this point in relation to, but merely that it is important that you are all aware that these situations are interconnected and they are escalating the situation of climate change, and it can become much more dangerous than you realize. I will express, you still are not collectively creating an apocalyptic event, but I would say that you have wavered and you have come close. Therefore, I acknowledge the energy that is abating that, and I acknowledge all of you in continuing to move in a direction of not creating that, but I would also express it is important not to be complacent.
Elias, I have installed the solution. Would you agree with that, that it is now working?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for addressing it, my friend.
You are very welcome.
Elias?
Yes.
Can you speak a little bit more about that, as to what are the challenges with the permafrost melting? Are we talking about disease? Are we talking about methane? What is it exactly that's going on?
I would say both. There is tremendous potential for both. There are gases that are being released that are definitely not promoting health. And although I have expressed that you as humans are considerably adaptable, not every other species is, which does affect the balance of your world and of your ecosystem. I would also express that, yes, in relation to what can be released in the melting of the permafrost, there are organisms in the permafrost that have been dormant and buried for thousands and thousands of years, and they aren't any longer.
And these organisms, are you referring to organisms that can be damaging to the ecology?
Yes. They could be. I would express that some have been contained already, but I would also express that there is potential for situations that would not necessarily be positive, let us say. But, as I expressed, at this point, I am not necessarily engaging significant explanations in relation to that because it isn't actually at this point threatening. If it becomes threatening, I will express that to you.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Hi, Eliza. I'm not quite sure what I'm asking, but the last thought that came up after Nino's conversation with you was like that you mentioned to us before that our awareness will add somehow to whether we create doom and gloom, so to speak. So in a way, I would like to think about it in a more positive way, like how can we contribute to become more aware, move in that direction of interconnectedness and not need the signal, so to speak, that we should move farther. Am I making any sense?
Yes. And this...
And I have an additional question in a minute later. Sorry.
You may continue. Or not. I would say to you that what I have been expressing is very much the point in relation to your question in a matter of being self-aware, being self-directing, intentionally choosing, and evaluating in relation to differences and in relation to your guidelines. How are you using them? What are you doing? And once again, what are you paying attention to and how are you paying attention to it? Are you paying attention to everything that isn't enough? Are you paying attention to the potential of something bad occurring? Are you being afraid? Are you moving through your daily life, looking around you and interacting with other individuals from the perspective of what is wrong? Or are you moving through your daily life and intentionally choosing to pay attention to what is enough and what is not wrong? What you are happy with, what you are satisfied with. Now, let me also express to you that in a realistic manner, that this is not as easy as it seems. And that I can express that to all of you, but many of you in this present time framework are struggling. Many of you don't know how to stop following the feelings. This is a very significant piece, and this is a significant expression for many, many, many people, that the reason that they express fear, the reason that they express depression, the reason that they have anxieties, the reason that they have dread is because they don't know how to stop following the feelings. And although I have given you all methods to stop following the feelings, the feelings generally for many, many, many people are so strong that they aren't motivated to do the exercises that I have expressed. Or they become disillusioned because the exercise doesn't work immediately. Let me say to you, most of you that have considerable difficulty in not following the feelings, you have been following feelings for most of your lives. Therefore, it isn't an action that will be easily stopped. It isn't a habit that you can simply tell yourself, I won't do this any longer. You automatically do it with almost everything. And in that, you have learned and developed a way of life, let us say, that is based on always following your feelings. And in that, you have come to trust those feelings as if they are communications, which they aren't, but as if they are, and not only as if they are communications, but as if they are a part of your very personalities, as if they are a part of your being, and they aren't. But this can be considerably difficult to disassociate yourself from those feelings in a manner of speaking, to move in a direction in which you actually can see them as signals and nothing else, that they are not a communication, that they aren't a part of your being, they aren't a part of your personality, they are simply signals. And in that, it isn't a matter of ignoring them. Therefore, this can be considerably difficult for many, many, many people, especially continuing. Now, in this, this is a significant subject because this is a significant contributor to the doom and gloom. It isn't a matter of positive thinking. It isn't a matter of ignoring situations or ignoring your reality. There are parts of your reality that are disturbing. I would say that it would be very unrealistic if you reside in Australia presently to be expressing that the situation isn't dire. It is. But does that have to dictate to you what you pay attention to and how? No. Now, in this, some people automatically, naturally move in directions, especially in the face of disaster or negativity, of being very self-directing and moving in the direction of helping others or aiding in everything around them in their environment. Some people naturally do that. And they don't necessarily pay attention to what is bad and wrong. They acknowledge what is happening, but they move in a direction of attempting to pay attention to solutions or what they can do to help. That is a natural action for some people. Some people automatically move in the direction of fear, and they become crippled by that fear, and they don't know how to stop paying attention to that fear. As I expressed several times previously, you create moods by following feelings. Moods are not a natural expression of any of you. They are expressions of following feelings. When you are in a bad mood or when you are in a sad mood, you are expressing that mood because you are following the feelings. If you are in a happy mood, if you are in an excited mood, you are in that mood because you are following those feelings. And let me express to you all in this matter that following feelings in any direction is not balanced and is not necessarily good. Even feelings that you think of as being good, because they turn, because it isn't a natural action. It is one that many, many, many of you have developed in a habit, and therefore it is automatic, but that doesn't mean it is natural. It isn't. Because feelings aren't a communication. They are signals. And when you follow the feelings, you aren't paying attention to the statements. You are only paying attention to the signals. In this, it isn't a matter of expressing that everything is daisies and rainbows. It is a matter of being realistic and being balanced, but also expressing that example that each of you is a spark. And you all connect with each other, not to create an out of control wildfire, but to create illumination. And in that, those of you that don't express automatically in these difficult manners of following feelings such as depression or anxiety or fear or dread or doom and gloom, those of you that don't automatically express in those directions, it is tremendously helpful that you can express in a manner in which you can use your ability to direct your attention differently, to direct your attention in what is enough and what is satisfying and what is not frightening, to encourage those that can't yet. And in that, it isn't a matter of telling those that can't to stop doing what they are doing, because they can't. They are attempting, but it is a process. Therefore, rather than instructing those that are experiencing difficulty, you can be helpful and encouraging by being patient, by allowing. Now, that doesn't mean that you move in a direction of encouraging those other expressions. It is a matter of balancing. You can be allowing because you are being allowing of the person, but you can also be expressing in a manner in which you aren't encouraging the individual to be following those feelings. How do you allow and not encourage? Don't echo. That would be the first piece. Also, don't provide an atmosphere in which the individual is encouraged to be continuing to pay attention to all of the fear. How do you do that? If an individual is engaging a conversation with you and the only thing they are speaking about is fear and dread and doom and gloom, it isn't a matter of correcting them, but don't continue to participate either. You don't move in a direction of instructing or correcting, but you don't encourage either. And if you participate and involve yourself, then you are encouraging. Therefore, that is not a successful direction to be engaging. Now, even though you aren't participating, it is important that you are also not discounting the other individual. Therefore, it is important to acknowledge them, that they are important, that they are valuable. What they do is not who they are. What any of you do is not who you are. You are not measured by what you do. These are religious beliefs, that you are measured by your works or by your contributions, and you aren't. Everyone generates contributions, regardless of whether you think you do or not, regardless of whether you see what you contribute or not, it doesn't matter. You do contribute. Everyone contributes. In this, it is a matter of encouraging without judgment and without instructing. Therefore, let me express to all of you, in becoming more self-aware, a question that is ludicrous and I would say never helpful is to express to another individual, why are you doing that? Or why did you do that? Or why are you expressing that? I would say for the most part, for most of you in the moment, whatever you are doing in a particular moment, unless you are being intentional, if it is something that you don't want to be doing, you don't necessarily know why you are doing it. You simply are, because that is what your awareness is at the moment. Asking another individual why they are doing what they are doing is moving in that direction of instructing. The other piece in relation to your question would be to genuinely evaluate with yourself what you are expressing in energy and how in relation to not being equal, but not being above or below. None of you are equal because you are all individual and unique and you all move in different expressions and at different paces and you have different importances, and therefore this piece about equality is a considerably large ball of twine. Therefore, that is one piece to evaluate how much do you move in the direction of wanting everything to be equal, because that is unrealistic and it sets guidelines that are damaging. It doesn't allow for difference. And that is a big piece. The other piece is evaluating. You might not necessarily move in the direction of equality. That might not be important to you. But how much do you move in the direction of evaluating those separations of better or worse, higher and lower? And in that, how you can be helpful in relation to not contributing to the doom and gloom is to not be moving in those directions of higher and lower, and not move in the direction of equal either. This is all expressions that have to do with differences. And the challenge with differences, because it is challenging, you automatically look at your world and you automatically express in a direction, not necessarily that you actually think about it or even feel about it, you simply do it, that everyone else sees the same reality that you see. Everyone else experiences in the manner that you experience. And when they don't, it is confusing. And when they don't, you automatically generate a judgment either about the other person, that something is wrong with them, that they don't see the same thing you do, or that something is wrong with you because you don't see what they see. Both of which are incorrect. You aren't all the same. That is the point about intersections. You intersect with other people and they see some of what you see, or perhaps almost all of what you see at times. And then you don't intersect and they may not see anything that you see. And that very much is reality. That is the reality of differences. This is a very challenging piece presently.
Elias?
Elias?
I would like to ask you, yesterday I became aware of an intenseness of units of consciousness before me. It was similar to a snowstorm. And I saw a depth of this abundance of units of consciousness. And I extended my hand to see if I could interrupt the flow. I was curious, and I'm wondering, will I see an enlargement of each unit? Is there something that I could do to convert them, or to utilize it, or to make my life more exciting even? I'm not saying that there is excitement in my life, but that could add a dimension. I think, you know, if my being is able to perceive this, it's for a reason. So I think, could you shed some light on this? And I am hearing an echo as I speak. It is so disturbing. I'm going to mute myself.
I would say that was beautiful. I would say that that was a beautiful example of precisely what you were speaking about. And it was also a beautiful example of differences in realities and how, when they intersect in those differences, how many of you became annoyed. I would say that, my dear friend, you intersecting with those links of consciousness, that is what you presented in all these echoes. It is all around you. All of these aspects of consciousness are all around you, and you are expressing that, and your energy is projecting that, and it is reverberating and resounding all around you. And even you are somewhat annoyed with it. Whereas what I would say to you is, it is wondrous. And in that, what can you do with all those echoes? Think about that. And for all of the rest of you, it is excellent, perfect timing and quite in conjunction with our conversation about those differences. An individual presents a difference of an opening of their awareness and an opening of different aspects of consciousness that is creating this reverberation around her. And what is the automatic expression of everyone else to stop it? Make it go away. It is disruptive. We don't like it. That is what you do with difference. Go away. We don't want it. We don't like it. Make it stop. And the more you want it to stop, the more you are bothered by it. Because the more you pay attention to what you don't want, which is the formula for most individuals following feelings. I would say to you, my friend, thank you very much for that expression, for that contribution. And what can you do with it? Play with it. Play with it, investigate it, and allow it to open new vistas for you. You have already opened the door. Step through it.
Hi, this is the moderator. And I just wanted to say that we've got, I would say, about 10 minutes, just as a time check.
Hey, Leah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm new here, so my question has to do with probably awareness. I wrote something, just a word, and I had no idea where it came from. I didn't even know what it meant. So I have to go and Google it to see what it meant. And I want you to maybe, what is it? The word was sentinel. And what does it mean? I mean, I know it's about awareness, so I guess I wasn't aware.
I would say that, yes, you are correct. It can be about awareness. And if you are engaging this word in relation to awareness, then it is about being very directed in your awareness. It is also about, in a manner of speaking, showing the way.
Yeah.
And that it can be about being the example, being the sapling, but also showing the way.
So what you mean is, I asked, like 2 weeks before that, for guidance, my guys or whatever, and I wrote it and I thought I would feel something, but, you know, I guess what you're saying is you're telling me to be more, to be an example, you know, to live happy, be happy, and that's the way I'm going to teach everyone. It's not by word, but by example, by the way I live my life. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, yes. And in that, showing the way. In a manner of speaking, being a guide.
Okay. It makes sense because I have a group and it's in Spanish, and so I'm... In a way, you know, they look at me for, you know, guidance, especially now, like you mentioned before, so many things happening, and I tell them, I just don't pay attention. It's OPS. Don't pay attention and just laugh. And when you see bad news, just look at it and laugh. It's all bad news. And they try to scare you. And so that's what I do. I joke about everything. I don't pay attention to doom and gloom and especially because I live through the fires in California, and I realize that, you know, it's just we're creating it with our fear. We're creating it to get bigger and bigger. And so I think that makes sense what you said. Thank you, Elias, or Elias.
You are welcome. And in that, what you can also share with your group is that... Things aren't always what they seem. Everything isn't what it necessarily appears to be. Therefore, something that might appear to be bad initially may not actually be. It is a matter of how you pay attention to it, in addition to what you pay attention to.
It's like fear. I tell them fear is your best friend. He's telling you that you're focusing on something that you're not supposed to be focusing. You know, just, it's your best friend, fear. Anxiety is your best friend. Just, you know, to look the other way. Just look the other way because, right? I don't know. Thank you very much, Elias.
You are very welcome, my friend.
Hi, I wanted to share my story with you guys. So I had a really hard time since many years because I was moving. And last year I was working in a company where we did a marketing on moving to natural. And that brought me to move to myself and to quit to leave this company. So now I'm not working anymore and I'm just taking care of myself and trying to get back to myself. And through this adventure, I realized that the connection that I did wishes when I was younger, and those wishes are directing my life still. So, and I've seen someone who told me that I had to leave something. I moved to Quebec many years ago, and I have to leave something here. And I didn't realize what it was. And I think I understood that it was this wish I had made when I was younger to say, I'm going to wait for other people. I'm a bodhisattva. I'm going to wait for other people to evolve, etc., to grow myself. And I realized that this belief is just stopping me from the way I want to follow now. And it's just that I want to be connected with myself, to be more connected with other people. And I want to share. I don't know yet where I'm going, but that's it. I wanted to share it with you.
And thank you. And I would express that is tremendous, because it is so important for all of you to do just that, to share with each other. You don't have to have an answer. You don't have to know what the direction is. You don't have to express. Continuing, I expressed to you that sharing is important, and what I was expressing is that it doesn't have to be what you think of as profound, because everything that you share is profound. Everything that you share has meaning, and in that, the sharing in itself creates that expression and that experience of interconnectedness. And in that, I express to you, my dear friend, thank you.
I think we have time for one last question.
Unmuted.
I have one question about I always had the impression that my consciousness is moving with the other consciousness. With Australia and the permafrost and all the climate change thing, that if I can change my beliefs, if it's not a problem anymore, can I change the climate change situation? And can I change the consciousness of, help to change the consciousness of everyone?
Can you change the consciousness of everyone? No. Can you change climate change in your individual reality? Perhaps. Can you change it in relation to the collective? No. Because you don't make choices for other people. You can't choose for everyone else. And in that, you also can't choose for everything else. And in that, your planet is making choices for itself. Can you change that? No. It is already in motion. It is already being expressed, and you can't change what something else, some outside source, is choosing and what direction it is moving in. Now, could you create your own individual reality very differently, in which you eradicate climate change entirely? You could, conceivably. It is possible. It is unlikely, but it is possible. And in that, the difficulty would be that you would be doing the opposite of what self-awareness is moving into, because in order to do that, in your reality, you would have to disconnect yourself from all other individuals and what they are creating in their reality, and collectively you would have to separate yourself. And that is moving in the opposite direction of what this shift is moving in. What I would express to you, my friend, is it isn't, this is an excellent example of thinking that all of this is bad. And that is the point, is that it isn't a matter of moving in the direction of fixing it. But rather, instead of looking at it all or perceiving it all as being bad, to look at the present situation and to express moving with it rather than against it, and therefore generating cooperation in every direction rather than expressing opposition. And the more cooperation you are expressing, then you inspire yourselves to move in directions in which you can be expressing new inventions and directions and creations in relation to how the planet is moving now, rather than moving in directions of this is bad and wrong and we have to fix it. You can't fix it. You could fix it per se in your own individual reality if you chose to separate yourself entirely, but in moving in the direction of cooperation and interconnectedness, you can't fix it because it isn't a matter of fixing it. It is a matter of moving with it, not against it.
Hi, Lice. Are you in the middle of it? I have a question. You talk about the planet making choices, which implies decisions, of course. So what type of consciousness or being does our planet have? How is it making choices?
Everything is consciousness. You are not the only expression of consciousness because you think or because you express that you are alive. Everything is consciousness. And I would express that defining what is living and what isn't living is a tricky business, my friend. And in that, I would say that yes, your planet is making decisions, making choices. That doesn't mean that it is making choices in the same manner that you make choices. It is making choices in relation to its being. In a similar manner to how your body consciousness generates choices that you aren't always intentionally directing. When you have a cold, or when you express an allergy, or when you develop some type of dysfunction, your body consciousness is generating choices in relation to its being. Now, are you involved in that? Most definitely, because you can't separate you from your body consciousness because it is a part of you. And is your awareness involved in that? Most definitely. Is there an awareness with the planet? Most definitely. Does it have an awareness of its beingness? Yes, it does. And in that, it is generating choices of changing its configuration of itself in relation to the changes that have been expressed in relation to it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Very well, my friends. I would say to you all, I encourage you tremendously. Those of you that are incorporating difficulty in continuing to follow feelings, know that there is tremendous support behind you, because you are all interconnected and therefore you aren't alone. Those of you that are struggling to find a balance in yourself and your world, be encouraged. It is closer than you think. Those of you that are moving in a direction of recognizing and acknowledging that you are relatively content in your lives and that you are relatively satisfied in your lives, congratulations. And I would express that you will likely continue to express more of that. I encourage all of you, and express to all of you, that you are all moving, you are all accomplishing, even if you don't see it yet, it doesn't matter, you are. In this, I acknowledge all of you, I support all of you, and I express tremendous love to each of you. I greatly anticipate our next meeting, and I treasure our friendships. Au revoir.
Au revoir.